So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Hallelujah, Jesus. I want you to go with me to the book of John. I'm going to finish, if God will let me, a message I've been preaching on about 47 weeks now. 3 weeks, dealing with drama and trauma. Dealing with drama and trauma. This past week, I was at my nephew's wedding. That's why I was not able to be here. We thought about driving back late to be here for the Sunday, but the last time I did that, I hit a deer. Decided we wouldn't do that this time. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, everybody, help me wish Charlie a happy birthday. It's his 25th birthday today. Happy birthday, Charlie. Amen. Well, you didn't do that on my birthday. And I probably won't the next time. Because you start something, you know. I have to be unpredictable so you can't figure me out. Right? Amen. The book of John, chapter 16, we began with one verse. We went to several different verses, but this is our text where we're taking this from, dealing with drama and trauma. It says, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Jesus talking. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Take heart, because I have overcome the world. In me, Jesus said, you will have peace. Father, I pray that you bless the reading of your word. Grant me that which makes preaching easy and effective, which is the anointing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, musicians. Drama and trauma are a part of life. And if you say, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about, it's because you haven't lived long enough, or you're just so stupid that you don't even know when trauma comes. But just because you get saved doesn't mean that you go from having trauma in your life to no trauma. As a matter of fact, sometimes it becomes even greater a trauma in your life when you get saved, because now you're on the devil's radar. And see, well, I want you to understand that you don't get saved and lived happily ever after. But trouble is part of life, and if you live long enough, you're going to understand that. To be forewarned is to be forearmed, which simply means that prior knowledge of possible dangers or problems gives somebody a tactical advantage if you know they're going to come. So I'm going to let Emilio help me this evening and go through my slides, because if I look at my notes, I may have to preach. So give me my next one there. Smooth. All right, no, I want to go through point one. Go back to point one. I want to go through it in case they wasn't here. Peace is not the result of just having peaceful situations in life. But peace is a perspective that God is greater than your current circumstances. Give them the next one. You can sleep in a storm when there is no storm in you. And that's referring to the book of John. It's referring when Jesus was in the ship or in the boat, and they were going through a storm, Mark chapter 4, that when they were going through this storm, he was asleep and everybody else was upset and in a panic. And if you ever go to God and he's in a panic, then you get to panic. I like what I don't know which station it is. I think it's Channel 11. But the weatherman says that do not panic when a hurricane. Do not panic unless I tell you to panic. And I like that. So I don't get nervous till he gets nervous. And when he starts getting nervous, I go, wait a minute now. So I'm in Uruguay when this last hurricane was threatening us, and he wasn't nervous. And so that gave me a little bit of calmness to know that if he wasn't nervous yet, then I'm not nervous yet. So the same thing with God. If God ever panics, go ahead and slit your wrist and your throat, because it's over with. It's over with. There is no storm in Jesus. And can I tell you this? That many times internal trauma, drama, and trouble, storms, is worse internally than it is externally. An internal storm is always worse than an external storm. Our point number one was this, that realize that trauma and drama are periodically normal to life. However, if you've been in the same storm for the last 20 years, then there might be a problem. Well, Pastor, I've been married 27 and I've been in a storm for 20. And it's my spouse. That's a whole different message. But the reality is sometimes you have trouble and drama because of stuff you did. Sometimes stuff that you didn't do. And stuff that didn't have nothing to do with you. It was just a victim of circumstances. Give me my next one. Drama and trauma are not necessarily that you've sinned and this is punishment. Come on. There is no life without trauma. I don't care who you are, man. If you're a child of God, you can have all the faith you want, but there is no life without trauma. But trauma and drama doesn't have to derail you, and that's the issue. That's the problem, is we let it derail us, derail our relationships, but it doesn't have to derail you. Jesus had trauma and drama, but it didn't affect him because he was at peace. And the same thing can happen to you and I. What's my next one? Point number two is stop trying to calm the storm and calm yourself. Stop trying to calm the storm and calm yourself. What's my next one? You can't control the storm, but you can control yourself. It goes back to that you reflect, or you can get in control. If you're trying to control a situation, whatever you are many times reflects or mimics what's going on around you. That if you're calm, you can't get a baby to calm down if you all upset. Because the baby, anybody ever ride a horse? You can't ride a horse and you be scared and upset because they sense that same thing. Same thing with a dog. Famous last words, that dog don't bite. Bull. It does me. Why? Because when I get around a big dog, I get nervous. I was helping a guy roof a house. I said, hey, man, you want to kind of take care of your dog? He goes, oh, preacher, don't worry about that. He's fine. I get over there. He backs me in a corner, growling and grinning at the same time. I got you, boy. All right? It just happens to me. I don't know. People have a tendency to reflect how you are in control. Go ahead. Give me an exit. There we go. Number three, keep the main thing the main thing. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added to you. Distraction is the destruction of your dream in slow motion. And here, what our vision for our what we do is we want to be a place where you can find focus for living. You can't get distracted by other people and what God lets them get away with. I know some people who trip out and wig out because of what God lets other people get away with. And so they try to do or mimic what God is allowing somebody else to do, and they get themselves in trouble. You got to have a relationship with God. Now, the areas of your focus are the areas of your reward, and the areas of your neglect are the areas of your pain. Which simply means that if you ignore an area or neglect an area, that's where it's going to bring you pain. Now, wisdom is knowing what to ignore. You can't fight every battle that comes down the pike. Every battle ain't yours to fight. Now, I'm going to mess with some people right here. I may even lose some members. I hope not, but here we go. You want everybody that you tell to intercede on your behalf. But everybody ain't called to intercede on that situation. Well, Pastor, who do I intercede for? The burden that you receive. If you receive a burden when you hear the request, that's when you intercede. Anybody ever been woke up in the middle of the night because you had to pray for somebody? That's a burden that God had you, and you're interceding for that burden. But there are sometimes somebody tell you to pray and you ain't thought about it one more time. That's why usually if you ask me to pray, I'm going to pray immediately. Because if you come back and say, Pastor, did you pray? Yes, I pray. But now, did I intercede? I don't know. I know if I interceded, but sometimes you don't know. Now, and I know I'm going to miss somebody, but if I interceded, we have over 700 people who attend this church. If I interceded for everybody, I would never eat. Right? And here's the one that gets me. Now, I know it ain't you, but here's the one that gets me. You ask somebody to intercede, but you ain't even pray for yourself. You want somebody else to fast for you, but you ain't even pushed a plate back once. No, baby. Mm-mm. You want somebody to intercede for you, but you still make stupid decisions. Hey, let me move on before I get in trouble here. You can get distracted by other people here. You never cut what you have the power to untie. And some people just want to cut stuff and cut people off, but sometimes you just got to untie it. So I'm gonna quit my job. Well, sometimes you might need to just reflect. I don't need you, I quit. And then you get home and realize you ain't got no groceries. I need them. Amen. I tell everybody, if possible, always leave a job where you can go back to it. All right. Get a better perspective. Hang on a minute. Let me see where I'm at. On my own notes. Oh, I'm up here in point three. Let me get on down here. Where am I at? Point four? All right. I can't find point four. I think I erased it. Here we go. Get a better perspective. View it from different angles. Because, I remember, problems are not monolithic. Which monolithic means it's big and made of one thing. And I've learned that problem is not usually one thing. It's many. It's multiple. It's more complex. As a matter of fact, there are very few times that I see a problem. I see problems. Especially dealing with people, there are never problems. There's usually problems. And so you get a different perspective. Women usually see things closer and have a nearsighted, and men usually see, you notice women, that a man can't see the butter in the refrigerator, but he can see four deer 6 miles away. Isn't that the truth? Or if you're fishing, oh, I see birds flying. That's where they biting over there. I don't even see a bird, but they see it, right? But that's what we do. We men, what do? We go find the butter. We get in the refrigerator. And we just move our head. We don't move anything else. We just move our head. Where's the butter? Oh, and the wife comes, it's right here. She picks it up. There it is right there. All right, but that's because, and so we need binocular vision. We need binocular vision, which is two. We need binocular vision, which is gives us depth perception. And so you need to look at it from a different light. You can't handle it all by yourself sometimes. You need somebody else to give you a different perspective. What's my next one? All right, think about why you started, why you do what you do. This is point number five. Think about it. Why did you start? Think about why you started. Why do you do what you do? And when you've tempted to give up or lose your temper about why you started, whatever it is that you're doing in life, when you're dealing with trauma, why did it start? Can I tell you that most of the time, the drama and the trauma come from little things. I'm guilty. They come from little things that we're not taking care of. Now, I'm not there yet. But make sure, or hopefully, try not to lose your temper. Because when you lose your temper, you lose, or you always lose when you lose your temper. Nobody wants your temper. But when you lose it, the devil always finds it. And the devil always uses it for destruction. The devil always goes, oh, here, I found this. Well, that's not mine. I know it's his. But let me give it to you. Because it's going to hurt you, right? So keep the, always understand, why do you do what you do? Drama makes people do stupid stuff. Drama makes people say stupid stuff. Drama makes you do things that you didn't want to do. Now listen to this closely. You can avoid reality, but you cannot avoid the consequences of avoiding reality. Hang on just a minute. You better preach. Oh, thank you for that amen. I think I will. Because some people try to avoid reality. You can't just say it didn't happen. You can't just say that, you can't just push it under the rug, because that rug's getting to where it's got a big bump in the middle of it. That rug's got a hump like a camel in the middle of it. You can't just keep sweeping it and act like it didn't exist. You got to start dealing with some of the issues. But when you deal with it, make sure you know why you started, why you do what you do. You can avoid reality, but you cannot avoid the consequences of avoiding reality. You know, listen, how many love to just escape reality? I do. I like just to kind of glaze over. I kind of like just do my thing. And some of y'all like to do other things. I like to lose myself in like a TV show or a movie or on my Harley. Some of y'all like to lose yourself in some drugs, some alcohol, some affairs. I'm sorry, I'm talking to the camera right now. I ain't talking about anybody in here. Glad y'all could join us, because everybody up in here is saints. But I'm glad you could join us. Now, if you join us because you're just too lazy to come to church, that ain't why a live stream is for you. If you're just too lazy, I pray that 1,000 fleas find their home in your armpit. But understand what I'm saying. We want to avoid reality, but you can only do that so long without having the consequences of avoiding reality. Well, I don't want to deal with my kid. That you're going to have to deal. You're going to have to deal with it. What? No. You're going to have to deal with it. You can look the other way all you want to, but you're going to have to deal with it. I want them to like me. They ain't supposed to like you. Let me see where I'm at. I see I can't get no help up in here. Point number 6 is this. Look for opportunities to grow or become a solution for others. Man, when you're going through some drama and trauma, look for an opportunity to grow. You know, God is not Monopoly. You don't pass go. You don't collect $200 just for living. No. God says, if you fail the test, repeat the test. If you fail this situation, you got to repeat it, man. There's just no way around it. And I know I've told this story before. Me and my wife had this situation that we kept failing. You know? And then I passed it. I passed with flying colors. And I was like, oh, I passed the test this time, baby. I said, we're good to go. And then my wife came to me and she's like, oh, honey. I said, what? She said, I think I failed the test. I go, man, I'm sorry you got to go back through that. She said, no, you know we together, so we got to go back through it. I said, woman! And then I don't know, a couple of years went around and we had to go back through that same test. We were able to pass it and we moved on. But see, that's the deal, man. You got to become, see, when I get into a situation, when I'm going through some trauma, and if I'm going through some trouble, I ask a couple of questions. One, God, am I here because of what I did? Am I here because you're trying to teach me something? Or am I here because it's life? And if I'm here because you're trying to teach me something, let me learn it fast. I do not want to go back through this thing. I'm too old to have to repeat the trial, go around the mountain. I want to learn whatever I need to learn so I don't have to go through here again. Because there are some places in my life that I can't wait to go back. But there's a couple of places I don't ever want to see the sign of that city ever again in my life. And there are some places in my life that I wouldn't mind revisiting. But there are some areas in my life that I don't ever want to go through that trauma again. And I don't ever want to see it. And if God will help me, I'm not going through it. Because I've learned my lesson. When God gets ready to grow you, many times He uses the drama and the trauma to grow you. Oh, I don't like that. But you have to go through it, man. Listen, dissatisfaction is the precursor for change. As long as you are comfortable, you ain't gonna change. See, people change usually when they see a place that they would rather be, or they feel the heat. They didn't see the light. They felt the heat. And feeling the heat makes you change a lot faster than just seeing the light. When you're seeing the light, you go, oh, that would be nice. But when you feel the heat, you're like, hey! Right? So dissatisfaction is a precursor for change. How many's ever went through a year and you like never wanted the year to end? Many of us have. I've been through a year, a few years ago, I was like, man, this year is great, Lord. Just let me stay right here in this year because I don't want to change. But how many knows that seasons change? It doesn't matter. We in Florida, we don't have season. Yeah, we do. We got love bug season. And I'm thankful that we're about to come out of the love bug season because I'm about sick of them love bugs because they ain't showing me no love. But anyway. But then there are seasons you don't want to change, but then there are seasons you can't wait for the change. You wake up every morning like, I'm just waiting for a change. I'm just waiting for something to change. I need something to change. But then you have those days when you just don't want, you want it to stay just the way it is. You know, I do that sometimes on our holidays and things like that when all of my family comes around, you know, and I got my girls and we're all together as a family. Those are the days I love, right? But you know they're not going to stay there because they're going to grow up. And they're going to put you in a nursing home eventually. And you know that's going to happen. Remember, the size of your problem predicts the size of your future. The size of your problem predicts the size of your future. If you didn't have any potential, the devil wouldn't fight you so much. Now listen to me. Listen closely. I've already hit this, but I got to hit it one more time. Because when I say things like that, people will go, oh, my Lord, I've got a bright future. Well, make sure it's not because you're just making stupid decisions. My problem's huge because you dug a hole and then you dug it deeper. And then you put dynamite in it. And now you can't get out, right? And then you burn the ladder. I like that, yeah. You burn the ladder. Make sure, I cannot drive this home well enough. You need to make sure that if God's trying to teach you something, yes, then if God is, or if the devil is fighting you and it is potential for you to have a great future. But sometimes it's because of so many stupid decisions you've made. Would you just, if you feel comfortable, would you put your hand on your neighbor and just say, Lord, help them quit making stupid decisions. I mean, you know, and now we're all laughing, but ain't that truth? That's some truth, man. When I'll never forget one day we were going riding with the motorcycle group and Carol was going to pray for us that day as we, you know, us guys that are us people who ride motorcycles on with the warrior, what's her name? Riders of the Fog, yeah. And Raiders of the Lost Ark. Riders of the Fog. We will pray together before we get on the motorcycle. And Carol said she was praying. She was so sincere. I cracked up. I couldn't even pray. I was, Lord, just protect us, Lord. And she said, Lord, just protect us. And Lord, protect us and keep us from stupid. I was like, well, because motorcycle people have names. I'm like, well, who is that? I was looking hard at Roy. Who's he calling stupid? But you understand? She was saying, Lord, just protect us from stupid. And that's what we need. God, help me. I pray that often. Lord, help me not to make stupid decisions. You ever did something and you go, God, that was stupid? Oh, yeah. Some of y'all ain't never did that. You never come out of the house. But now, all right, let me give you. Where am I at? I don't know. Here is God's process. I don't know if I have this on YouVersion or on, I don't know. But here's the process. Here is God's process. God says, all right, there's a need for change and growth. There's a need for change and growth. Don't go changing. There's a need for changing and growth. So what does God do for change and growth? God uses crisis. God uses crisis. Now, I would rather God just give me revelation. But what you don't get by revelation, you have to get by situation. So, sometimes he gives us revelation, but when you will not receive revelation, he gives you situation. God uses drama. All right, now, here we go. Ready? Now then, God uses the crisis. The crisis creates hunger. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean, you start looking for something deeper to sustain you in the crisis. Because where you're at has not the ability to sustain you of what you're going through. So it either pushes you toward God or away from God, depending upon your disposition of when it started. If you have a firm foundation, it pushes you toward God. Because you're like, God, I need something a little better. I need something stronger. I need to know you. I got to know that I know that I know. Right? But if you're just out there on the fringes of Christianity, where you just come to church but you don't know Jesus, or you know, if you're just on the fringes, it pushes you away from God. Oh, I knew the church wasn't nothing. I knew there wasn't anything real with it. Because you never got deep enough. Now listen to me. I've told on numerous occasions our worship team, you got to make sure that when you're worshiping, you're not worshiping music. Well, that's how God touches me. That's cool. God touches me that way too. But you've got to have a relationship with God that supersedes the music. Good preaching, Pastor. So God creates this hunger or this crisis. The crisis creates a hunger. You start looking for something deeper to sustain you in the crisis. And the hunger creates a search. And you only go searching for deeper in God when you get hungry for it. There are so many Christians who have scratched the surface of Jesus. And that's all you want and that's all you need. A little dab of do you. And so we come to church. Hey, how you doing? We do our church thing. Glory to God. Good to see you. But there is no gift or there's no fruit in you. You only have as much God as you are hungry for. And so I pray that God increases your hunger for Him. Because can I tell you that most Christians, or let me rephrase that, most people who go to church will not endure strong doctrine. Because number one, they don't know any strong doctrine. They don't have any foundation. And that's why you crumble when crisis come, and you act like Barney Fife with one bullet trying to get it out when crisis come. But when you know who you are in God, you know, listen, we were with I mentioned when we hit that deer. I thought it was kind of funny. I mean, I've been driving for a long time, and so anyway, we were driving and I hit that deer. And on the interstate, we were doing about 85, so I don't know around there. But we were doing pretty fast. And when I hit that deer, my daughter, when I got us pulled over, Sherry was asleep in the back, and she just kind of laid up. Is everything okay? And then my daughter, who was in the passenger seat, she goes, "Dad, you didn't even scream." That's like, well, I had to take care of what was at hand. You know, she thought I should have went, "Ah!" No, that would have just made it worse, right? You got to stay in control. And when stuff happens in your life, in the Spirit of God, when you know who you are in Christ, when you are a mature Christian, you go, okay, it's just something else I got to deal with, but I'm going to deal with it because the same God that brought me through last week is the same God that's going to bring me through today and the same God that's going to take me through next week, because I serve a God that doesn't panic, that doesn't get upset, that doesn't lose his cool just because I'm going through something. Well, praise the Lord. Now, here's the deal, man. The search for truth, the search for God, leads to a higher truth. The search in the middle of the crisis leads to a higher truth. And what do you mean by that? I mean, you begin to realize who you are, that this thing is bigger than the way, than how you feel. I don't feel saved. There are times I don't feel saved, but I am. There are times I don't feel like doing, but I do. Why? Because I've went through those crises. The search leads to a higher truth. The higher truth will give you a deeper revelation. And a deeper revelation will bring transformation in your life. A deeper revelation. See, sometimes you go through stuff, and when you begin to realize that your relationship is not built or filtered through somebody else, when you know sometimes you can't reach your prayer partner because God don't want you to reach your prayer partner. When I was going through a crisis when we were building this building, one of the worst crises I'd ever been through. I've told the story. I don't know how I got there, but I got in my car one day because I didn't want my family to see me losing my mind. So of course I did the most safest thing in the possible. Got out on the road so everybody else could see me lose my mind. So I got out on the road and I wound up at the edge of Ozella at the boat ramp at Ozella. I do not remember getting there. I just kind of came to myself. No, I wasn't trying to, again, I wasn't trying to drive. I ain't killing myself. I kill other people, but I ain't killing myself. So I found myself there. And I don't know how I got there. So I called all of my, I am not done. I am not going to quit. I don't care what you say, Emilio. I'm going to keep preaching. I'm just messing with you. All right, so here's the deal, though. I called my mentors. Because I needed somebody. I didn't want to put that pressure on my wife and children, but I needed somebody who had been where I've been. So I called the people that I knew had been there, and can I tell you that nobody answered? Now what did that do? That made me even feel worse. I can't even get a hold of anybody when I need them. But what it taught me is when I couldn't get a hold of them, I could still get a hold of God. Because in a still small voice at the edge of Ozella, I heard the Lord say, "I'm here. I'm here." And I said, "But I would like you to be here with some skin." Right? That's where we want. That's like the little girl, the little boy who it was raining and thundering and lightning. And he said, Mama, I want to stay. I want to sleep in there with you. She goes, No, baby, I got to stay in here. I'm sleeping with Daddy. And he said, That big sissy. And she said, But the Lord will be with you. She goes, God, I want God with some skin on it. And at that moment, I needed God with some skin. And I knew that the person and the people I was calling was not God, but I just needed somebody that I could look on their face or hear their voice in an audibly voice and speak to them. But I received a deeper revelation because I could not get a hold of them. I had to go to God, had to calm myself, and God gave me the deeper revelation. And the deeper revelation calls a transformation in my life. And the same God that did that for me can and will do that for you. Glory to God. A real revelation brings revolution and transformation to your life. The drama and the trauma is not just about you. God will use it to help others. I got one more point I got to get to. But let me hit this. The broken become masters at mending. The broken become masters at mending. If you ain't ever been through anything, I don't need to talk to you. I need to talk to somebody who's been through what I've been through. I need to talk to somebody. You know, people have asked, how in the world can John and Charlene lead a grief share group? Because they've had to walk through it. When Josh was killed, they had to walk through that when their young son. And they've had to walk through it. And so the broken becomes masters at mending. Now here's the problem. That sometimes the broken try to mend people before they're mended. And when you get a few sick people together, you get sick results. Oh, man. I need some help. I know I need some help, too. You know, you just cry together. But you got to let the Lord mend you. But do not waste what you've been through. Do not waste the trauma and the drama, because you might not be at a place. Now listen, 2 weeks into this, they could not have been the facilitators, thank you. They could not be the facilitators of grief share 2 weeks into it. Why? Because they're still broken. That's saying I'm the main one right now. That's right. I'm the main one. But they could not be the facilitators. But at some point in their time, and I don't know when it was. I doubt it was just it happened all of a sudden. But in a time, they began to be masters at mending people because they allowed God to mend them. Amen. Now, just because you're broken doesn't mean that you got to stay broken. Just because that you are broken doesn't mean that it's going to might have to be just tomorrow and you better get better. No, it might not be that way. But I will tell you this, that if you're broken, place yourself in the hands of the man who knows how to put you back together again. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put him back together again. But the king of this universe can and will put you back together again. Corinthians 1, 3 through 4 says, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion and the God of all comfort. Verse 4, who comforts us in all our trouble, all right? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. 1 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. That's when you've come through it. You have the ability
to help others through it.
Point number 7 is this. God is bigger than the problem you encounter. Dealing with drama and trauma, God is bigger than the problems you encounter. All right, now listen. Sometimes you need to tell yourself, especially when you're going through trouble and trauma, you need to tell yourself that God is greater than anything I will face today. You know, when we were building this building and Mike and I can't remember Mike's last name, the superintendent, but great guy, stayed with us and helped us, man. But I would call him up and I'd go, hey, what? Stratford? Bradford, that's right, Mike Bradford. So I'd say, Mike, we got any problems today? He'd say, Pastor, we don't have problems, we just have obstacles. And man, I started taking on that because see, problems is just blue. But obstacle means there's a way over it. There's a way around it. There's a way through it. And so I began to tell myself every time I would start calling him, hey, what are the obstacles today? And he would tell us, all right, let's figure out a way around it, through it, to go over it, to go under it, whatever we need to do to remove it. Let's figure it out. All right? And so when you are dealing with drama and trauma, you got to recognize that God is bigger than anything that you face. So sometimes you need to tell yourself that God is bigger than anything that I will face today. So stretch it out and tell yourself, God is bigger than anything I will face this week. Come on, say that with me. God is bigger than anything I will face this week. Oh, that makes you feel better already, don't it? God is bigger than anything that I will face this week. All right, let's take it a little bit further. God is bigger than anything I will face this month. God is bigger and greater than anything that I will face, period. Ever. Right? I don't know what you're facing tomorrow. But I want you to know that God is bigger than that. I don't know what you're facing this week, but God is bigger than that. I don't know what you're facing, but God is bigger than that. Whenever you're faced with drama, let me give you a few things to remember. I've given you about 6 or 7. But just remember, when you're faced with drama, keep calm. Keep calm. Then regain your focus. Yeah, man, don't let it derail you. Regain your focus. Here comes one. You ready? Then renew your faith. Because this attack is not on you. It is on your faith. Everything the devil does to you is not about you. It is about your faith in him. Every trouble, every problem, every obstacle is about your faith in God. Because if he can get you to relinquish your faith in him, you're done for. Because you are no match for the devil. But the devil is no match for God. And as long as God is with me, he is in me, and my faith is in him, he is not fighting me. He is fighting the God that is within me. And the last time I checked, God wins every time. Woo! So renew your faith. Remember God's promises. Remember God's provisions. Then here's a hard one. But you got to do it, man. Don't let your problems be louder than your praise. Hey! Ha! Don't let your problems be greater than your praise. Now, everybody, see, you don't have the luxury that I have to be up here and to look out there. And you don't have the luxury, most of you don't have the luxury to be up here during worship and look out there. Because if you had the luxury of being up here One of the worship team members, I said, why don't you ever open your eyes? They said, I can't. I got to keep my eyes closed. Because if you ever saw what we see when we lead in worship, here's what you're going to see. You walk into the room. And many times, if you're a regular, they begin to tell what kind of week you had, depending on your worship. You got a raise at on the job. You fighting with your spouse. Your kids acted right. You had to beat them 7 times this week. You stumped your toe on a vacuum cleaner that was left in the hallway. You understand what I'm saying? So sometimes I can tell I don't need discernment because I have concernment. I can just look and know there's something going on. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yep, old Dave and Mary, they fighting. Look, they ain't sitting next to each other. He's looking at her with disgust. You know what I'm saying? But you don't need to let your praise change. Lift up your head, O your gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors. And the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Hey, yeah, yeah. See, hey! I'm sorry. Because I know what it is to get up and preach, and I've been fighting with my wife. I know what it is to get up and preach, and some of you would never know the difference. Why? Well, because he's faking it. No, it's called maturity. It's called that what I'm going through does not affect who I'm going to. What I'm going through doesn't affect how he's going to come through. Hey. Maturity begins when the drama ends. Because you don't stay in drama school forever. You don't stay in drama school. You need to tell the little drama boy to put it up, because I'm done. Whenever you get into trouble, drama and trauma, don't believe the lie of the enemy. It did not come to stay at your house forever. You can't carry by yourself what the devil has planned out for you. That's why Jesus said in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares on me, because I care for you. If you're going through something today, keep going. You don't want to stop there. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and let the King of glory, come on, stand to your feet in this place. Spirit Life Team, come on.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.